as we continue this series, something that's been on our heart, honestly, for quite some time, but it seemed like every time we got to February and we're ready to kick off a series on relationships, the Holy Spirit took a left turn, and so we just went that way. We try to plan our, get an idea of what our message series are going to be, but we're always, we're always being led by the Spirit, and we change things up, but little did we know, we'd be restarting our in-person services, so here we are, and, but I just really believe it's timely. And how many know, I believe marriages, relationships, just individually, how many know we all need to be replenished and refreshed after 2020? Come on, somebody. And this is what I want everybody to know. They used to teach this to us when I was 18 and 19 before I was married. Just because we're doing a series on marriage and relationships doesn't mean there's not something for everyone in the room. And so I want to say that from the get-go, that the truth that we're sharing today applies to any marriage relationship, any relationship, and any individual. And here's the good thing. You can share some of the wisdom that you're going to get today with some others, all right? And so as Pastor Damian and Stacy shared last week, the key to locating love is to know, come on, that first love located you.
Yes.
Come on, that God knew exactly where you were at, and come on, he intervened in your life with his love.
Yes.
Not just any kind of love, but God's love, which was sent through his son, Jesus Christ. Come on, the love that saved us, secured us, and the love that was demonstrated to us by his son. To a people who didn't deserve it, and a people, come on, in desperate need of it. First John 4:8 says, whoever does not know God, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
And the best relationship advice we could ever give you today is to know God. Because if you really know God, you can't help to know love. And in 1 John 3:16, it says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave his life up for each and every one of us.
You know, when I was 18 or 19, you know, guys like to talk about marriage and all these types of things. And we're 18 and 19, and we're over Pastor Malcolm McPhail's. He's actually the senior pastor in New Hope Gilroy today. But he was our singles pastor. Back then, we weren't cool enough to have young adult groups. So we had these singles ministries that were 18 to 99. No joke, the oldest person that went to our singles group was 92 years old. But it worked, you guys. Hey. It was awesome. And I remember we were over Pastor Malcolm's house, and we're joking, and we're laughing, and he interrupted, and he said, hey, guys, let me just tell you one thing. I'm going to give you the best marital advice you'll ever receive. He said this, if you want a successful marriage, be willing to die to yourself. And we said, ha, 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 ha. And you know what? He was absolutely right.
Yes.
Because you, in order to grow up, we have to be willing to give up.
Yeah.
To grow in love in your relationships, someone has to be willing to give unconditional and sacrificial love. It's this type of love. It's agape love, one of the loves that Pastor Damian and Stacy talked about last week. It's this type of love that gives people a reason to respond. You see, we as believers, as Christians, we are to live our lives as a response to the love that Jesus demonstrated. When we do, listen, people respond to the love we demonstrate. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because why? He first loved us.
Amen.
He gives us a reason to respond, and we have to give one another, especially the most important relationships in our lives, a reason to respond. So I want to ask you, we're going to ask you a bunch of questions today, but how are you responding and demonstrating God's love in your relationships?
And fortunately, the Apostle Paul told us how to love in 1 Corinthians 13. before I read this, because I know we hear this a lot at weddings, it's important to know that the Corinthian church was struggling in how to love one another.
No churches are struggling right now at all. None.
Think of all the problems Paul was having to address. Leadership issues, divisiveness, immorality, lawsuits, selfishness, abuse of the Lord's Supper, spiritual gifts, and denial of even the resurrection. Seems complicated, right? Right? Like a lot of things we can seem to be going through right now. But Paul offered a solution, and it's the agape love, the sacrificial, unconditional love of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read it to you now, 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It gives no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails.
So if someone is not responding to your love, you might want to line it up against the love that is described in 1 Corinthians 13, because this love right here is the love that deserves a response. You see, love without truth is deceptive.
Right.
Truth without love is destructive. Listen, you have to have both truth and love working in your relationships if you're going to locate a love that lasts. And that's what we want to talk to you about. And we're going to ask you a series of questions. We're going to do a little bit of a love assessment this morning. Mm-hmm. And the first question is this: where have you been? Mm. Why do we ask that? Because God's love has never left you.
Right.
You know, one of the most important things, we're going to give you some new tools. This is actually one of the newest tools in our toolbox. One of the most important things to do in your relationship is to look back and locate God's love in your story. Mm. One of the things that we realized when earlier, about halfway through this year, we took time to timeline our love story. Come on, it started way back in 1987, y'all. Come on, the homecoming dance, American High School Eagles, come on.
Dean was matching his pink socks and his pink shirt. You see how he's kind of...
Yeah, you know.
He still does that today.
Yes. But as we look back over our journey, we had the tendency, as we looked back, to define our story by negative events that happened instead of God's loving purpose that prevailed in our lives.
Amen.
In other words, we allowed some of our history to be defined by a negative thing instead of the God thing that was happening in our lives at that time.
Amen. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who are loving God and called according to his purpose for them." And we discover that you need to allow God's love to redefine your relational history. When you take time to redefine your relational history, you can get God's perspective on how God used the negative to change your narrative. And like Dean said, when we came together and started timelining our life, at first I was like, why are we going backwards?
I know, we were a little fresh.
I don't want to go backwards.
We went there to talk about our future. And
I want to go forward. But it really was amazing how he wanted to pinpoint specific times that we saw the love of God, even in difficult, difficult times, navigating us through. And he really wanted to pull that out for us. And it really, really gave us a good perspective. You have to refuse to allow the negative narrative to navigate your life, because our lives and our relationship have a tendency to go in the direction we're thinking about them. Like in Proverbs, it says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he."
So why do we say you need to redefine your history? You say, Pastor Dean, isn't it under the blood? Absolutely, it's under the blood. Amen? How many are you thankful for your salvation?
Yes.
But the problem is, some of us are haunted by our history. Mm-hmm. And because we're haunted by it, we're also being held hostage by our history. Yes, God's already redeemed our story. But listen, how many know sometimes we need a renewing of our mind to see not just our history,
yes,
but His story of love that He's weaved in our lives, as Amy just mentioned. You see, I believe some of us are living in remorse and regret because of what happened yesterday. But His love, listen, we've got to have a revelation as we look back. We've got to have a revelation that His love, come on, has been present. His love has been ever persistent. And His purpose has always prevailed. Why? Because God's love,
yes,
completes us. It never leaves us, mm-hmm, unfinished. You see, I believe we need to challenge these negative things that have tried to navigate our lives and tried to get us to regret things and have remorse over things. And I believe we need to allow the Holy Spirit to redefine these moments in our lives. Hmm. Let me ask you this. What negative storyline are you telling yourself about you? Hmm. What negative storyline are you telling yourself about your marriage, your relationship, the relationship with your kids, the relationship with your coworkers, the relationship with your church? You see, it permeates all of our life. And we need to take time to look back and redefine our history and see God's loving work in our lives. Listen, don't allow the devil to fill your story with lies. Come on, allow God's love to fuel your story,
yes,
with His amazing grace.
Yes. Amen.
This exercise that we're talking about that we did, the coach and the counselor that we were with, and again, we were just getting refreshed. How many know marriages need tune-ups?
Yes.
Come on, how many know you don't drive your car without oil?
Right.
Right? You without periodic maintenance, how many know you'll have a big car bill on your hand?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with marriage. We forget about maintenance.
Right.
We forget about taking care of ourselves.
Yes.
We forget about taking care of our relationships. And all of a sudden, we need an overhaul.
Mm.
And so we sat down and we broke down our lives in 20s. And this 30s, we broke it down in decades.
Right.
And he began to challenge us and say, tell me your story. And again, we had a tendency to kind of bring out the negative. For example, in my 20s, I used to look back, just till recently, I used to look back and say, you know what? I made a bad decision to leave a church because things got hard.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 10 years of my life at that church, and when I looked back, I would say, you know what? I wasted 10 years of my life, and when I turned 30, I had to start over. I would look at other friends of mine who had been at churches a long time and were way ahead because they didn't have to start over. They had a spiritual father, people who poured into them. But I made a bad decision and left a church because things got hard. But what happened, what this counselor did for us, he said, no, I'm not talking about that thing. He said, I'm talking about the God thing. And he said, what were the good things? And we began to pull out, you know what? Those were the foundational years,
yes,
of discipleship. Amy and I have the same foundation poured into us at Genesis Discipleship Training Center.
Yeah.
They were formational years of leadership. How many know God can teach you things if you're just willing to stay?
Yeah.
Come on. Even if there's bad things going around you, God will pull good things out,
amen,
of it.
Amen.
We were discovering our spiritual family. In fact, not too many months ago, we were at a 50th birthday party, and just friends from our friends and family from Santa Rosa,
yes,
some of our dearest friends.
Yes.
How many know have friends like that? You hadn't seen them in 20 years, and it's like you just picked up like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
It was this,
yeah,
type of connection and spiritual family and heritage that God birthed in our lives. We became newlyweds,
right,
in 1992, and we weren't in church 3 days later, by the way. I'm just letting you know.
We weren't in Hawaii.
We became youth pastors. I cut my teeth in ministry. And then we were first-time parents. Josiah was born,
yes,
in Santa Rosa at the Kaiser there.
Yes, he was. And in our 30s, Houston, we have a problem. And that was the problem. We moved to Houston.
My first day in Houston, I met a guy named Matt Rash. He's a missionary in France now. He was a part of a campus ministry there. And he said, "Hey, man, glad to meet you, man." He said, "Why on earth did you move from California to Houston?" He saw, "You didn't know that this was the armpit of the nation?" I said, "No, I didn't. Nobody told me that before I moved here."
Yes, it was a difficult time in our lives. But again, we saw God's love still walking with us, still chasing us, still leading us. But for me, in my late 20s, early 30s, I would have to say those were some of the most difficult times in my life. I wanted to leave Houston so bad. So very bad. And all Josiah wanted to do was play outside. The weather was hot, fire red ants all over the ground, but I did it for him. But and looking back, God, like I say, he really showed himself true to us. I got pregnant with my second pregnancy with our beautiful daughter, Mariah. And we saw God's provision in more than one ways. It was amazing how he provided for us financially so many times, time and time again.
I wasn't the most responsible individual, just to let everybody know.
And we didn't have medical insurance, but God provided an amazing doctor for us with no insurance. He didn't charge us. So that was amazing as well. But when we moved back to California, though it was difficult in Houston, it even became more difficult for me personally coming back home, which I wasn't really thinking that's what was going to happen, but it did. For example, I had postpartum after Mariah was born, and back then, 21 years ago, I don't know if any of you ladies, you know, have experienced that, but it really wasn't talked about a lot. I kind of was just struggling with this inward struggle, and I really didn't understand it quite. You know, I just wasn't sure what was going on with me, but I knew something definitely was happening, and I had no one to talk to. I just felt like I was all alone. And then also, I had a miscarriage with our third child back in the Bay during that time, and it landed on Mother's Day, which was a really difficult time in our lives. But thank God our family was there to help us through that. Sorry, I'm a crier, sorry. And then also I was babysitting 2 to 3 kids at home because we didn't have any money. And I knew I needed to do something because I wanted to be home with my kids and I needed to have some more income. So I was babysitting 2 to 3 kids extra.
And they were screamers, man.
In
they
our
were
house. Screamers. Yeah, one of them was a really loud screamer. She was high-pitched scream. It was interesting. But anyways. And then, so that was a really difficult time. And then let's just throw in a brand new, cute little chocolate lab puppy. Don't ask me why. We got a puppy in the middle of all this craziness, but actually, you know, puppies do bring you a lot of joy. We're actually doing that again right now with Mariah's golden doodle.
It's like having another baby, I'm just telling you.
Yes, but it's Mariah's, but we're grandpa and grandma doodle. Anyways, But it all came to a head for me one night. I went to a women's event. I thought, okay, I need to get out of the house. I need to go to a women's event. I need to be around some adults. So I went to the women's event. And when we were there, they were passing out journals and magazines and glue and tape. And they wanted us to do this, like, vision board, but it was on a journal. Like, glue things on the front of the journal. What's your vision? What's your passion? What are you looking forward to this year? Like, what do you see God speaking to you? And I was sitting there in a room filled with people and felt all alone. Have you ever felt like that? A room filled with people, but yet I felt completely alone. I so wanted to leave that place so bad. Like I said, I had no vision, no purpose. I just made it up. I cut whatever out, and I stuck it on there, and I just was out the door. Like, I just was struggling. I was really, really struggling. But shortly thereafter, I got a call from a precious friend in Santa Rosa, and she said, "The Lord has given me a word for you, Amy." And she spoke this most powerful word over my life, and I broke. I just broke. I literally fell to the ground. And I think I cried the whole rest of the night. But he gave me that breakthrough that I was needing. in all of that, he was with me. He was calling me. His love still cared so much about me when I felt like no one saw me. He saw me. He knew what I needed. And I'm so grateful for that friend that called. The obedience of that gal to call me and speak that word over my life made all the difference. So if God's calling you to speak a word over someone's life, or you have something to say that the Lord's or the Holy Spirit's just umpting you to do that, you need to do it. It could change their life. You don't know what it could do for someone, because that night I had the breakthrough. I was set free, and I'm so grateful for that. Amen. So that's how I used to define that time in my life. But as I look back at this time, I saw his love. Like I said, he was still chasing me. I redefine that time in our life as God's lifeline of bringing us back to California, bringing us back close to family. And I'm so grateful that we were close to family and friends. It really was his lifeline for us, calling us back home. And in Romans 8:37, it says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." More than conquerors. Amen.
So no matter how old you are, you can do that. You can break it. We broke it down in decades because we're getting up there in years. But you can start wherever you're at and any increments that you want to do. Yes, I'm 50.
I'm not quite 50.
She's not. She's 29. So not only should you redefine your relational history, but take time to allow love to design your relational destiny.
Amen.
And this is what we're doing now. So not only are you allowing the Holy Spirit to redefine your relational history, to see God's love story in your story, but now what we're doing is we're asking God to design our relational destiny together. 1 Corinthians 13:7, Amy read it, but it says this: it always protects, love. It always trusts. It always hopes. Love is always looking forward. Love always perseveres. It's always pressing in and pressing forward. Love never fails. How many know love dusts itself and it gets back up time and time again?
Amen.
So love can redefine your history, but love can also design your destiny. And this is what we're doing now. So we're taking it a decade at a time. We're saying, what's it look like to pastor together and dream together and build together? And then 60s, raising up a generation that's coming behind us.
Yes.
Okay, all right, seven of you, all right. It's been so awesome on Thursday nights. We're training youth on all our cameras, all our technical stuff back there on the instruments. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon, our youth are going to be leading worship, and I can't wait.
Amen.
Because, come on, how many know we got to be ready to pass on the baton.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about what's it look like to be spiritual parenting, spiritual fathers and mothers to many. And then leaving a legacy. We're just saying, God, what are the dreams on your heart for us? And one of the things that I actually did this 8 years ago, but the staff is reading a book by Pastor Mark Batterson called Win the Day, and I was reminded of it. But I want to challenge you to do it as well. 8 years ago, we were challenged. I was on staff at Jesus Culture, and we were challenged to write down 100 dreams. Now you might think, oh, I could get 100. I only got to 32,
and it became
tough. But listen, take time and ask the Holy Spirit, God, what is the destiny that you see for our lives? What is the destiny that you see for our relationship? And here's just some examples of areas that you can ask God to give you some relational dreams and goals. Number one, relationally. What do you want to do as a couple? What do you want to accomplish in your relationships? What do you want to accomplish individually? What are your relational goals and dreams? What are your influential goals and dreams? And then what are your financial goals and dreams? And then what are your experiential goals and dreams? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to travel? What do you want to do? You see, this is what I know after I'm at the half point way in life, if I live to be 100, right? If you don't plan to arrive at your destination, you'll never get there.
Right.
Listen, yeah. One of the things that was pretty cool when I wrote, I only got to 32, but when I wrote down these 32 dreams and I began to present them to God, guess what happened? God started fulfilling those dreams.
Yes.
Listen, if you never tell God and you never express to God where you want to go relationally, how many know you'll never get there?
Right.
If you never express to God where you want to go financially, you'll never get there. If you never just express your dreams, say, God, I want to influence and impact the world.
Yes.
If you never express that to God, guess what? You'll never get there.
Hmm.
Take time for the Holy Spirit, listen, to breathe on your relational destiny. How many know one could put 1,000, but two can put 10,000?
Amen.
You see, if you dare to dream together, God's love will carry you to your desired destination.
Amen. And our second question, that leads us to our second question, where are you now? Because you need to know God's love never loses sight of you. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And King Solomon mentions this. Three things I believe we need to pay attention to in our relationship. Number one is seasons. Number two is timing. And number three is purpose.
This is the confessions of a pastor right now. I wish I would have paid a lot more attention to seasons,
yes,
timing, and purpose, because I believe that those things,
amen,
fit together, that we've got to understand that. At our Edify conference, I don't know if you were able to watch Sean Smith, the message that he delivered. You can catch all our Edify conference on our YouTube. But he defined times and seasons as biblical instruments of divine duration, purpose, and execution. Now, let me just apply that to relationships. The concept here is that when we as a couple understand the season that we're in, the decisions we make and the things we do together, listen, will produce God's purpose in both our lives.
Right.
This is something, again, I wish I better understood in my 20s and 30s, because guess what, you guys? I was a little bit selfish. I know nobody else is selfish except me in the room, but I was all about my purpose and my destiny. But because I was so focused on my purpose and my destiny and what God wanted to do in my life, I missed out on what God wanted to do in our life. You see, what God was producing in our lives together, I was missing out on what he was wanting to do specific in those seasons. You see, I was so adamant about knowing the will of God for my life, I missed the when of God, the timing of God a lot of times in our lives. And I made decisions, listen, that pulled us out of seasons prematurely. She talked about Houston.
Listen,
God's purpose still prevailed, I
yes,
can tell you. But I can just tell you, when I made that decision to move from Santa Rosa to Houston, I just took I just willingly stepped into the wilderness. I missed this. God wanted to do something in my life by staying. But listen, I was like, I got better things to do, God. My purpose and my destiny is being hindered to. And even though Amy wasn't sure she wanted to go, she didn't want to go, y'all. I said, babe, we're going. And that season was so difficult. God's purpose prevailed, but I pulled us out of that. That decision pulled ourselves out of that season prematurely. You've heard me say, when I was younger, I had the 10th gift of the Holy Spirit. Getting ahead of God. You guys have that gift? But I want to encourage you with this. I want to encourage you with this, because this is really our story. God redeems times and seasons.
Yes, he does.
No time is wasted. Listen, that 10 years that I thought I wasted in my 20s, you know what? God is using what he did in our lives today.
Yes, he is.
In right now. Amen?
Amen.
God redeems times and seasons in our lives by bringing purpose out of everything that happens in our lives. For the good, Amy said this scripture, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Ephesians 5:16, I'm reading out of the Phillips translation because I love how it puts it. But Phillips translation says it like this, Ephesians 5:16, live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. I love that.
Yeah.
Make the best use of your time. Despite all the difficulties of these days. How many know Paul could be writing to us right now?
Yes.
Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. So let me just give you a few things here. Sync your seasons and timing with God's purpose. Ask God right now. Say, God, help me to identify the purpose that you're working in my life, in my relationships right now. You see, some of us are rushing God's purpose to get out of the season that we're in. And come on, how many know we can miss God's timing when we try to rush God's purpose? Listen, have patience, because when you miss God's timing, things can get really difficult.
Yes, it can. As we come out of 2020, which was a long, hard season for many of us and still is, I think we need to ask ourselves some difficult, hard questions. It's not easy to ask ourselves these questions, but it's so critical to ask yourself some questions. We have four different areas that we want to go through, and the first one is spiritually. Are you living from a place of oneness or divisiveness? Are you more focused on what's dividing you than what's uniting you? Obviously, whatever you're focusing on is what you're going to become. So many times in our marriages, we're focusing on things that divide us instead of the things that unite us. Amen.
And then emotionally, I'm big on this one because I'm an emotional guy. But are you emotionally? I'll cry at a good commercial, y'all.
Yeah.
I'll cry at a good commercial.
We're a mess at a commercial. It's pretty pathetic.
And if you're crying at commercials, that's an indicator that you're not healthy, y'all.
No, I'm just no. Hey, speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a good cry.
Are you emotionally healthy? Because when we're not emotionally healthy, we have a tendency to disconnect relationally.
Yeah. And mentally, are you in a good place mentally? What is God's love saying about your relationships in your life? How does God see your relationships? They're not going to change until you understand God, the way he thinks about them and how he sees them. You may be thinking, I can't do this anymore. God's saying, my love perseveres. You may be thinking, I'm done. But God is saying, my love always hopes. I don't respect these people anymore. God's love says, do not dishonor others. There's only one type of love, like we said earlier, that will be the remedy for our relationships, and that is his agape, unconditional, sacrificial love.
It's the love Jesus demonstrated.
It's his love for us.
And then lastly, is physically. If you're married, are you physically intimate? And we acknowledge everybody's in different seasons, but we've seen time and time again that the lack of physical intimacy is an indicator of some deeper issues. Mm-hmm. And all of these questions, listen, are flashing yellows, flashing red lights in our lives, listen, that we need to pay attention to and not run through them.
Right. And our third question is, where are you going?
Yeah. If the worship team would come and get ready.
Where are you going? Because God's love is always, it's always leading you. Like we said earlier in Psalms 25:10, the Lord leads us with unfailing love and faithfulness, all who keep his covenant and obey his commands. If you don't know where you're going, you're never going to arrive. If you don't ask some difficult, hard questions, you're never going to get the answers or what you want to see happen in your life come to fruition. We say this because it's easy to get out of balance. It's so easy to get out of balance. We sometimes put our love on the back burner, but it's critical that we focus on that relationship and what it's going to take to go forward. 2020 was filled with a lot of good things, but also a lot of really hard things as well. And so Dean and I were really intentional to take this time in our personal lives and say, where do we want to go? And for me personally, I took a course a life coaching course that was a 12-week course. I met with a gal for 12 weeks, and I know personally in my life, just where the season that I was in, that for me to go forward where I was at, I needed to look inward. I needed to ask some difficult, harder questions and really see where I was at, where I wanted to be, what I wanted to focus on, what God was calling me to do, going deeper in my prayer life, in meditation, in accountability with friends and family, in my health, in lots of different areas. I took that time personally and just asked myself those questions, and I knew that it was critical to do that. It can be humbling, it can be hard, but I knew it was so beneficial and it had to be done in my life personally. So if you're at that point in your life and you really aren't quite sure where you want to go, take some time to really allow yourself to ask yourself some questions. Sometimes love, the love of God, calls us to go deeper. It calls us to go deeper. And sometimes it takes discipline. It's not easy sometimes. It takes discipline, self-discipline, to go deeper. We want deep love sometimes in shallow waters. We don't want to take, you know, the time or the effort or the discipline to go deeper in our walk with God. But God's calling you today, church. He's calling you today to go deeper. Take that time to go deeper. Amen.
You know, babe, when I was younger, we had a swimming pool. You remember our swimming pool?
Yeah.
And it was 9 feet deep, all the way to 3 feet deep. Mm-hmm. And then there was a rope that divided the shallow end to the deep end. And my cousin Dawn, she used to babysit us, and we knew how to swim, but we liked when our feet touched the ground.
Yeah.
And she would get in the deep end, and she would tread water, and she would call us, and she'd say, Dean and Rob, she'd call out to us, say, come out to the deep end. And I sensed the Holy Spirit this morning.
Yes.
Calling us, come on, out of shallow love.
Amen.
I believe he's calling us out of the shallow waters into the deepness,
yes,
of his love. Mm. This morning, I sense the Holy Spirit moving in this place. He's calling you as deep cries unto deep.
Yes.
His love is calling you out of the shallow end. Just like my cousin, yeah, would call my sister and I to swim past the rope. God's calling you to swim beyond the boundaries,
right,
that have been limiting your love. He's calling you beyond the boundaries that has thwarted your relationship. He's calling you beyond the boundaries that's got your history haunting you. He's calling you because he wants you to see his story of love.
Amen.
Not the history, yes, the enemy tried to get you to focus on and meditate on, but his love story in your life and in,
amen,
your relationships. And real quickly, I want to just, as we close, I want to give us 5 keys to getting to our destination and locating a love that lasts. This is 5 things that we're going to need as a church, as couples in our relationships, whether you're married, whether you're single, whatever relationship, we're going to need 5 things to go into deeper waters here, mm-hmm, at Real Life. Number one, yeah, we're going to need Christ. We're going to need Jesus Christ. You know what Christ is? Christ is the anointing. That's not his last name. It's the anointed one.
Yes.
We need the anointed one to teach us all things. Mm. When we face hard things, listen, I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm looking to Jesus,
yes,
the one who could teach me in the most difficulty of days, and he has. Mm-hmm. We need Jesus. Can we just stop for a moment? Because I don't want to hurry on past that one, because if we don't have Christ, if we don't say yes to him, we're never going to locate the love, right?
Right.
But listen, if you need to say yes, and you're in this building or you're online today, you need to say yes to Jesus Christ and ask him into your life and ask him to invade your love story. If that's you, with every head bowed, eye closed, you just lift your hand online. You could let a pastor know. Anybody in the building, you just say yes. You need God to invade your love story. Anybody else? Just Amy and I? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else, you need God to invade your love story, we could just pray for you. Online, let us know. You can ask the online pastors to pray for you. But we need Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We need the anointed one. Second, we need a companion. We need a friend. We need a friend who walks with us through all times, not just some of the times, but all times. And then as Pastor Damian shared with us this morning, we need community. We need to surround ourselves with people who will love us through difficult times. How many have been through some difficulties this last year? We need community, not to run away from it, but run to it. And then lastly, and we don't have to be ashamed of this, listen, sometimes we need a counselor. You need the safety of someone that you can confide in and receive from anytime.
Yes.
Anytime. And then, as Amy mentioned, sometimes we need a coach. You think about a coach, what he does, they encourage you. They bring out the best in you.
Yeah.
They see your potential when you can't see it. It's someone who empowers you every time they see you. We need Christ. Come on. We need a companion. We need community. We need a counselor. We need coach. You might be saying, Pastor Dean, I've got the Holy Ghost. I would just say, come on, yes, you have the Holy Ghost, but sometimes you need a person.
Yeah.
You need a friend.
Yes.
You need
yes.
a community.
Yes.
Come on, you need a professional. Come on.
Yes.
You need someone to pray with you. Come on, you need somebody to believe in you.
Amen.
Romans 8:38 says this, and I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us.
Yes.
Come on. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Mm-hmm. You see, this morning, God knows where we've been. His love has never left us. God knows, come on, where we are at this moment. His love has never lost sight of us. God knows where we are going. Why? Because His love is leading us. God's love redeemed us.
Yes.
Come on. And we don't have to allow the enemy, come on, to define anything about us. But today, we're going to allow His love to wash over us and redefine, come on, and design our story. Amen. Will you stand with us today? Come on, Pastor Damian, Pastor Brandon, I want you to be able to just sing that last song, one chorus, and then Pastor Damian is going to lead us out. But let's just pray over every relationship and over every marriage today.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You so much that Your love is always chasing us. Your love, it never leads us. It's redefining us. It's defining us. It's directing us and guiding us. God, when we don't even sense Your love, Lord, it is with us. It is calling us to go deeper in relationships and community and anything that You're calling us to do, God. We want to go deeper in our relationship with You. So this morning, God, we thank You for each and every marriage. We thank You for each and every relationship and every place that each and every person is here today in. God, we just pray that Your love would surround them, that Your love would pour over them, God, that they would locate Your love like never before, God, in this time, in this season of their lives, God. We thank You, Lord, for guiding our paths, for directing our paths, that we can see Your love, God, even in the deep, dark places of our history, God. But we have a bright future in You, God. We declare that today, that Your love will lead us to great and mighty things, God, to come. We thank You for this day, God. I thank You for our online community. I thank You for everybody that's here this morning with us, God, in this house, God. I thank You, God, that You've called us, that You've led us here, that You brought us this far, God. You are such a faithful, faithful Father. You're writing our story, and we love You so much, God. We love You so much today, Lord. We go forth on this Valentine's Day, God, and You are the love of our lives. Let Your love just be the best love that we've ever experienced ever before this day. We thank You so much for Your love, God. In all these things we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Oh, can we give God praise? Listen, before we go, I didn't know Pastor Brandon was going to sing this song, but how many know, come on, the Holy Ghost has us in sync today. I didn't know he was going to sing about our story, but I want to declare this. That's come on, because I believe God is leading us into a new season. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, oh me or amen? Come amen. On. God is leading us into a new season.
Welcome to RLC.